So I always do ask that you open your Bibles. But for those who do not have Bibles or can barely read them, the book of Matthew, the second chapter, is up there. And then we will be reading from the 13th through the 15th verses. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Amen. Everybody's there. Surprise, surprise. Amen. The book of Matthew, the second chapter, the 13th through 15th verses out of the Christian Standard Bible. They read as follows. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." And that concludes the reading of the Word of God. The title for today's subject is someone that is a text that some of us may have seen before. Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. I received some disturbing news yesterday, and some of you may have heard this news, that out in the front, on the pillars, there was some graffiti written on our church. It contained some anti-God stuff. Swastikas and all these things. And it had a lot of, and there were some gang-affiliated writings on the church. So I'm assuming people know about this. And it's times like this that we kind of get discouraged and say, you know what? What is all this for? To my recollection, this is the first time that I have seen this writing, this type of tagging of our church. This is the first time that I remember. And my wife will be able to attest that every time we come up Hoover and over, there's a church on the corner that seems to get tagged almost every week. I don't know if y'all come up that way. But it's times like this when you think about, you know what, God, what are we doing? What are we doing? This world doesn't respect Jesus Christ. This world doesn't respect the church. Even when we think about the commercialization of Christmas, how the main thing about Christmas is not necessarily Jesus Christ, but it's about Santa and his reindeer and the gifts that you have to get and Jared and Amen. Some of us got our jewelry from Jared. And I say that because people will bust down doors to make sure that they have the latest gift. But they won't step foot in the church to thank God for the greatest gift of all time. And what is this? It seems like we want to evangelize and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we have things like this, we pray for our young people, but then we see the graffiti on our church. We have done nothing to people. It just seems like it's mission impossible. There are many reasons to believe this mission is impossible. We know our mission, that is to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. To spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to be and live that good news of Jesus Christ among others so that they can come to us. And it just seems like the more we try, the emptier the church gets, the more we get disrespected. There's many reasons to believe that God's mission is impossible. But what I want to propose to you today is that not only is God's mission possible, but it's actually complete. That's what I want to talk about today. How would your life change if you knew that God already took care of the issue? How would your life change if we knew that God worked it out? How would the church react if we knew we weren't in a state of defense and trying to protect ourselves, but we have already come out victorious? What type of reaction would we get? Well, someone say, Pastor James, you mentioned all that, but how do we know it's complete? How do we know? You say it's complete. The paint's still drying on the graffiti. And you say it's complete? Young people still ain't in the church. And you say it's complete? Let me give you just two reasons today. Two reasons. Reason number one, God's mission is always possible. God's mission is always possible. As we look in our text, in verse 13, it says, after they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. After they were gone, meaning the Magi. After they had told King Herod where they were going, and King Herod said he wants to come and worship Jesus also. But we know that what King Herod was up to, because Jesus was announced as King of the Jews. And you know, Herod had killed off family members and all competitors to be King of the Jews. So when he hears that the King of the Jews is here and is born and they're not talking about him, oh boy, we know what's going on. See, what was supposed to happen in this story? I know we read the text, but what was supposed to happen? See, what was supposed to happen was after the Magi go and give their gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, who, by the way, is about 1 to 1.5 years old at this time. They're supposed to go back and tell Herod everything. Hallelujah. Jesus the Christ. He is born with Joseph and Mary, and they live at 123 West Main Street in Bethlehem, Judea, 90710. That's what they're supposed to do. And then what's supposed to happen? Herod says, thank you, Magi, and you're always welcome in our country. And then what Herod is supposed to do is send the feds down to Bethlehem and overtake the family and execute Jesus Christ. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what's supposed to be written as our history. But what actually happened? The Magi did not go back and tell Herod everything. Why? Because they were warned in a dream and they left by another route. The family was supposed to be surrounded by feds. But what happened was they went to Egypt after a warning, again, in a dream. Y'all realize dreams pop up four times in the... Interesting how God works. Herod was supposed to kill Jesus Christ and all hope of salvation. But he ended up executing every small child except Jesus, the Christ. What am I saying? What about you? You realize that there was something that was supposed to happen, but God supernaturally intervened? What about you? What is supposed to happen to you? What is your life sentence? What do other people's, what do the sociologists and the psychologists and the analysts, what do they say is supposed to happen to you? Oh, what do the theologians and what do the writers and the newscasters say is supposed to happen to the church? What is supposed to happen? We're supposed to die off. We're supposed to be overrun by secularism. We're supposed to be to bow down to the government. The government's supposed to run us out of here. That's what's supposed to happen. But what actually has happened? We're still here. Despite attempts in Sacramento and in D.C. to shut us down, we are still here today. Despite people coming and writing all this gang affiliate stuff and all that, we're still here. Despite our church being set on fire, oh my God, we are still here. Despite the doctor report, for some of you, you are still here. Despite your business report, your financial situation, you are still here. Despite what the books say, despite what the experts say, we are still here. And that is because God's mission is always possible. If you live according to his will, if you do what the Lord has called you to do, the mission is always possible. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when we're supposed to get executed by the government. The mission is always, always possible. Always possible. But then there's something else. God's mission is already complete. Y'all remember me saying that, right? That's the confusing part. God's mission is already complete. In verse 15, it reads that he stayed there until Herod's death, he meaning Joseph and the family, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be what? Fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, I want you to follow me. It gets a little technical. If it's too technical, don't worry, we're coming back. This quote out of Egypt, this prophecy out of Egypt, I called my son, comes from the book of Hosea, 11th chapter, the first verse. And it reads, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, in that prophecy, I is talking about, is referring to God. God is referring to Israel as his son. And he loved Israel as a son. And out of Egypt, meaning from the, you know, Exodus, called him out of Egypt. That's what this is referring to. So the question is, well, how does this even apply to Jesus? Because it's really about Israel. Hosea probably really wasn't talking about Jesus. So how does this apply to Jesus? Now, focus on this. My son, who is my son? In this case is Israel. Okay? It's Israel. Now, why would Matthew use this scripture to talk about Jesus when it is clearly talking about Israel? Matthew is talking to Jewish people. This is big. He's talking to Jewish people. This is their history, coming out of Egypt, God loving them. This is the essence of who they are. For African Americans, it's like almost like coming from slavery, you know, being shipped over and cotton fields. And okay, this is the essence of the history. And what Matthew is saying is that what God called Israel to do, obviously Israel didn't complete it, because the rest of that book talks about how Israel failed. But he links this to Jesus. And he says that out of Egypt I called my son. So it's called a type. It's a picture that foreshadows the future. So let me say this again. What happened in the past foreshadows what happens in the future. So just as Israel was a child loved, called out of Egypt, Jesus, quite literally, was in Egypt and then came out to fulfill this prophecy. So previously, God's love and will was shown in Israel. But now what Matthew is saying is that the essence of what Israel was called and supposed to be is no longer in Israel, but it is in Jesus. Where am I going with this? Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is a big deal to them because they were waiting for the expected Messiah. And what Matthew is trying to say over and over and over in the book of Matthew is that Jesus is the one that they were looking for. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is the Messiah, the one that will come and save them from their sins, the King of the Jews, and really the King of the whole universe. This is Jesus, and he is here. So all of your history, how it should have been, is fulfilled in Jesus. Again, don't worry. I'm going somewhere with this. When we are in Christ, as 2 Corinthians states, that we are in Christ, so we're a new creature, his fulfillment is applied to us. What in the world am I saying? Because of what happened in the past, we can be confident of the future. All right, come back now. If it was too technical, this is where we're at. Because of what happened in the past, we can be confident of the future. See, because Jesus Christ overcame, then guess what? We who are in Christ can overcome. Because Jesus Christ endured, we who are in Christ can endure. There is nothing that separates us from the love of Christ, because not even death could hold Jesus back. So if Jesus overcame and conquered death, then we who are in Christ can overcome death. We can overcome destruction. We can overcome people writing on our churches. We can overcome the society beaming down at us and criticizing us and laughing at us. We can overcome low church attendance. We can overcome depression. We can overcome these things because we have Jesus Christ. We are in Him. And just like the Jews came out of Egypt, Jesus came out of Egypt, some of us are in Egypt right now. You can come out. You can come out. Some of your Egypts are financial. Y'all know what happened in Egypt? We were slaves, right? Some of us are slaves to our financial situation. But because Jesus came out of Egypt and we are in Christ, we can come out of Egypt. Some of us are slaves to what happened to our families in the past. Uncle did this, mom did that. But because we are in Christ, Jesus overcame, so therefore we can. When we are in Christ, we can be confident of the future because we know how the past turned out. See, the mission goes from being possible to being complete because it's already worked out. It's already done. We don't have to wait and see what Jesus does because we know what Jesus did. We know that Jesus came on this earth. In this season, we know, we talk about this season. We know that he came and was born through the Virgin Mary. We know that he lived and taught a lot of good things and performed a lot of miracles, cast out demons, provided food out of thin air, walked on water, calmed storms. We know what he did. But the greatest thing that he did was go on that cross and die for you and for me. He went on that cross to die for sins that you and I committed. He went on that cross to experience the shame and the guilt that you and I have felt. He went on that cross for you and for me. But thank God, the story continues. Because you know what? If Jesus had died and stayed dead, we don't really overcome. How can we overcome something that Jesus didn't? But see, Jesus was buried. And he was dead all that Friday night. And then he was dead all Saturday. He was even dead Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up and he defeated that last enemy, which is death.